Happy Saturday, Nashville. 102.5, 106.3, the Game Blitz. Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly on the other side of the glass making things happen this morning as we have moved into the playoffs in Middle Tennessee for high school football. First round last night. Some teams had the bye week. Most of those teams in D2. All Division I teams played either on Thursday or Friday. And we're going to get into a scoreboard here a little bit later. Parker, good morning.
Good morning, Jake. It is finally here.
It is finally here.
The playoffs are here. The best time of year. And no, I did not mean to rhyme. But hey, it is it's a fantastic Saturday morning. Happy to be on with you.
Yeah, happy to be here with you as well, as always. And we're going to talk high school football for the next hour as we are the official show that gets the football Saturday started.
And America's high school football show.
America's high school. That came out this week, actually. I saw that. And I was thinking, before we get into our games of the week, the games that stood out for us, I kind of wanted to give you a little bit of a question of the day of sorts, to take a page out of Forrest Company, and ask you, what is your most memorable playoff memory that you have from high school? And I'll answer as well. So,
all right, most memorable playoff, it'd probably be, so when I was at DCA my junior and senior year, and we had Coach Paul Wade, who's now at Brentwood Academy, he had this rule where he did not allow, if you touched the football, so basically if you were a skill player, if you're quarterback, receiver, running back, you could not wear sleeves. You could either wear a cutoff under your pads or a short sleeve shirt, but never long sleeves. And the reason behind that was Coach Wade was very strategic in everything that he did. And the reason for that was, he said you're more likely to fumble the football. You can't have as good of a grip on the ball. So we were playing, I believe it was Tipton Rosemark, which is kind of funny because DCA beat Tipton Rosemark last night. We played Tipton Rosemark my senior year in the first round of the playoff, and it was probably 36 degrees at kickoff, and with the wind and everything, made it feel more like 28.
Yeah.
So everybody's freezing outside, they're bundled up. Here I am with no sleeves on, and when you're moving around and you're playing, it's not really that bad. You don't really feel it. But that game was freezing, and I had no sleeves on, but we got a big-time win, moved on to the second round. So that was probably one of the more – and that really that week, I think that was a week we got really bad snow in the mid-state. So we were practicing in the snow. And
what year was this?
It was 2019.
I have zero recollection of getting
snow. It may not have been really bad snow, but I do remember at some point we did get snow. So throughout this week of practice, I'm practicing with no sleeves because I want to prepare for the game on Friday night. But yeah, I just remember it being really cold, and here I am with no sleeves on, just kind of slinging the pill. So
to speak on the no sleeves thing for a moment, I was a lineman, so we were allowed to wear like the leggings under our pants.
Yeah, we wore the leggings too.
But we were also not allowed to wear sleeves, and that was more, I feel like that was more of a toughness thing, as being a lineman.
Yeah, no, because you don't really see a whole lot of linemen with sleeves on.
Right.
It's regardless of what level of football you're watching.
Yeah, you were answering that question, and I was running through what would be a good memory for me, coming from Eagleville. And, we have a lot that I could choose from. But I think the memory that I'm going to go with is when I was a junior in high school, we were coming off our first undefeated season in school history. We were coming off our first district title, I believe, in school history. And so, like, my sophomore year was a really, really good year. And we had lost a lot. And I remember going into the next season with, we had a decent class, we had a decent team, but not what we had the year before, I think was a lot of people's thoughts. And there were a couple times where we were under 500, or a couple games under 500. We were 1-3, we were 2-4, and we had to find a game to get, we finally got on track. But the game that stands out is we went to Moore County in the second round of the playoffs, and Moore County had beaten us the year before, like earlier in the year, by like 4 or 5 points. And we actually had a shot to win the game through a Hail Mary. Our receiver got tackled at the 5-yard line. So we go to Moore County. They win the region that year, and they're selling region shirts. And I think they were like 9-1 or something. They were a really good team. And the game comes down to the last play of the game. Moore County had an illegal man downfield, and the game was over. We win 19-16. It was a really, really great game. And plus, I mean, that's a region rival, so, you know, you get to go in and end their season on their home field. And that was, I mean, that was just such a great game.
Man, it's just, here's the beauty about high school football is you don't always necessarily remember every single play that happened in the game, but it's just the memories that you have with your teammates in the locker room and out on the field. Yeah. And what you may do after practice or after games, like, It's awesome.
Yeah.
This time of year is just great. It's great.
Yeah, it creates a lot of memories that are going to last a lifetime for a lot of guys, and it's incomparable. But right now, so we're going to get into the games that stood out for us. And Parker, what was the game that stood out for you last night?
So I'm going to throw you a curveball. I know I told you something different before we went on air, but I'm changing it. So my game of the week, Stewart's Creek and Independence. We have been talking about Stewart's Creek both on the air and off. They've had a really good season at 9-1 heading into this game, and they're taking on an Independence team who has struggled in 6A. They're 3-7, but Stewart's Creek gets a tight win last night at home, 20-14 over Independence. They move on to the second round of the playoffs, in which they'll take on Brentwood. So Brentwood, they got a win last night, 37-21. So Brentwood and Stewart's Creek.
And that Brentwood-Smyrna game was, I think it was in the third quarter when I saw a score. I think Smyrna was up, or maybe Brentwood was up 10-7. So that game was a little bit closer than maybe some people thought. Obviously, you mentioned Independence, Stewart's Creek. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think Independence was starting to put things together. You know, obviously, the season didn't go the way that they wanted it to. But with this momentum, that's something that they can hopefully carry over into winter workouts and, you know, spring camp in 2025 and next season.
And I'll give you your flowers. You did say that Independence might make things a little closer than we might predict or expect, and so I will give you your flowers on that. They did keep it close with Stewart's Creek last night, but Stewart's Creek has kind of had a dream season, so
yeah.
I'm really excited to see what they could potentially do against Brentwood, because Brentwood seems to always find themselves in this position every year. When we talked to Clint Finch, I believe it was week two of the season, he talked about how inexperienced and younger this team is than last year's team. But it seems like there's no drop off. They're right back in the thick of things.
Yeah.
So.
And by this point, you're really not labeled as what you are in terms of like a freshman, sophomore, junior. You know, you're kind of you've grown up a lot, and you know, now freshmen are kind of playing like sophomores, and sophomores are kind of playing like juniors, and so forth. So my game was a game that I did not see coming at all, and I will take full fault for that one. Blackman went on the road to Green Hill last night, and Blackman just ran them out of the building. 45-14 final. Green Hill 10-0. You know, winners of their region. You know, they would have had home field throughout the playoffs unless they had met another one seed. And Blackman was kind of a tough read for me. They were close in a lot of games. 14-7 loss to Ravenwood, who's undefeated. They lose to Oakland by one, and if Blackman doesn't fumble, who knows how that game ends. They were in every game, I think, maybe outside of one. And they were able to put up points. I think they had four games where they scored over 30 points this season. And I think that this is just another case that, you know, here's another team that is starting to put things together. They're really starting to figure it out, and you know, they're playing their best ball right now.
And what do you get for beating a 10-0 team on the road? You get Riverdale next round. So,
and that was I think that was the only game that they weren't in earlier this season. So, you know, Riverdale had a great showing last night. We're going to get to their score in a moment. And, you know, this could be like another revenge game for Blackman. You know, I mean, something that, you know, they lost 24-7 earlier in the year to Riverdale, and now they get Riverdale again. So, I mean, it's the playoffs, you know, as we just saw, you know, Blackman going to Green Hill. It's the playoffs. Nobody knows what can happen.
That's the thing about the playoffs is everybody's 0-0.
Yep.
It's clean slate,
one week season.
You never know.
Yep. You never know. Well, we're going to get to a scoreboard right now. It's playoff time. Parker, let's cue the music. First round of the playoffs in Middle Tennessee. Chattanooga Central hosted Watertown. Watertown put up a fight, but Chattanooga Central prevails 47-35. East Robertson hosted Fayetteville. East Robertson wins 49-13. Loudoun hosted Stone Memorial, 33-21 win for Loudoun. Oakland avenges their one loss of the year as they move on in the playoffs, 41-0 Oakland over Lebanon. Riverdale hosted Cookeville, 35-14 win for the Warriors as we previously mentioned. They will host Blackman next week. 48-14 win, Cannon County falls to Westmoreland. And Whitwell beats Joe Burns 52-14. Monterey came to Middle Tennessee last night and went to Forest. Monterey prevails on the road 27-14. Chattanooga Prep went to Gordonsville last night. Chattanooga Prep wins 25-7. Blackman tops Green Hill 45-14. Marion County ends a tough season for Smith County. Marion County wins 63-0. Mount Juliet grinds one out over Coffee County, 22-10 win for the Golden Bears. Upperman stays hot. They beat Signal Mountain 49-0. White County and Trip Pinion stay hot as well. The Warriors beat Red Bank 31-0. Franklin County gets their sixth win of the season, 28-14 win over Antioch. Parker, a shout-out to my Eagleville Eagles.
I knew it was coming. But, hey, we do have to give a shout-out.
I don't want to be biased, but 14-6 win. They got down early, 6-0. They come back. They win 14-6. They get McKenzie next week. East Hickman falls on at home to Decatur County Riverside, 35-22. East Nashville beats Cheatham County, 44-0. Liberty Creek beats Fairview, 27-20. Centennial beats Lincoln County on the road, 34-7. Pearl Cone beats South Gibson by 20, 36-16, getting their eighth win of the season. Shelbyville Central moves to 10-1 as they beat Hillsboro 42-9. As Parker mentioned, his game of the week, Stewart's Creek and Independence, 20-14 win for Stewart's Creek as they move to the second round of the playoffs. Brentwood, 37-21 win over Smyrna. Chester County beats Creekwood, 21-14. Parker, the Station Camp Bisons, 47-24 on the road at Jackson Northside. They've won 6 of their last 7, and they're 6-5.
Here's the thing about Station Camp is they've just, I don't know what happened. I don't know what got put in their water. I don't know what their coach said to them in the halftime locker room, but they have just figured it. I don't know what happened.
Sometimes one win just turns a light bulb on. McEwen hosted Huntland last night, the Fighting Johnny Majors. McEwen prevails 49-7. McKenzie beats Wayne County 47-0. Nolensville hosted Tullahoma last night. Nolensville wins 23-14 as they move on. Page and Columbia, a game that was a little slow. I think it was 12-2 at halftime, but Page wins 19-2. Columbia with a lone two-run home run there somewhere in that one. Ravenwood tops Cane Ridge 42-0. Sycamore hosted Stratford. Sycamore wins 27-14. White House Heritage beats Maplewood last night 28-9. Beach hosted Brighton in Shackle Island. Beach wins 56-0 as they move to the second round of the playoffs. Germantown knocks off undefeated Clarksville 28-10 on the road. Henry County hosted Memphis Central. They get the 14-point win 20-6. Bartlett traveled to Kirkwood and they win 44-7 as they advance in the playoffs. Houston beats Dixon County 42-7. They get their 9th win of the season. Collierville gets their 10th win as they beat Rossview 38-3. Southwind beats Hendersonville to advance in the playoffs 39-20. In Division II action, Boyd Buchanan beats Davidson Academy 35-17. MTCS, a team that started a little slow in 2024, but they have gotten hot as of late. They beat Fayette Academy 41-14. Grace Christian of Franklin knocks off BCA 37-7. BGA and Bobby Bentley gets his first playoff win at BGA as they beat Knox Webb, a team that they beat earlier in the year. They beat Knox Webb 42-7. CPA moves to 11-0. Not surprising in this one. 38-14 win over CAK. Columbia Academy moves to 8-3. They knock off Kings Academy 49-8. DCA, Parker's DCA Wildcats get a big win over Tipton Rosemark 38-0. FRA beats Chattanooga Christian 44-13. And MBA knocks off Briarcrest on the road 21-20 for the Big Red. JP2 falls to Lausanne out of Memphis 53-30. And last but not least, Springfield gets a 3-point win over Mumford on the road 32-29. And that is your playoff week one scoreboard. We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk to Jonathan Quinn of the Davidson Academy Bears and wrap up their 2024 season right here on 102.5, 106.3. You're listening to the Game Blitz.
This is the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, the game, taking you through all of the high school football action here in the Mid-State. And we've got a guest on the line as we are joined by the head coach of the Davidson Academy Bears, head coach Jonathan Quinn. Coach, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good morning, guys.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking the time. I know these types of conversations are never easy as your team falls to Boyd Buchanan last night, 35-17. Coach, kind of in your own words, what kind of went well for your team last night and the things that went well and what kind of went wrong?
Well, I think last night we were able to run the ball extremely well. Our running back ran for 280 yards and really had an outstanding night. I think we had opportunities that we just didn't capitalize on, and I think that's where it really hurt us. They had a couple big plays against us that they got some scores on, and we had opportunities to put the ball in the end zone, and we just missed those opportunities. You're playing a team on the road that's as well as coached as they are. You can't miss those opportunities.
Coach, I was looking through Boyd Buchanan's stat line last night and, you know, just kind of looking at their stats as a total on the year, and I noticed something really peculiar that a lot of teams don't have in that they've got like 8 or 9 guys that have rushed for at least over 100 yards. So they're really a team that can line up and they're going to run the ball, so you know what they're going to do. Looking at the film this week when you guys went to break them down, what stood out about Boyd Buchanan?
I think what stood out was their overall team speed. They had, like you said, a lot of guys that were interchangeable, a lot of guys with some good top-end speed, and they do it by committee on both sides of the ball. And, they're very fast on the defense as well. And so I thought for us, one of the things that would give us advantage is if we were able to just come down and just try to run downhill on them, and we were able to do that very effectively. On defense, they don't do a ton, but they did have some top-end speed. And so if you gave them a step, then they could have some really big plays. And there was more than just one guy. And so it made it really hard to just key on, hey, if you stop this player or that player, then you're going to have a really good game. You had to really focus on, containing all their running backs and receivers.
We're talking to head coach Jonathan Quinn with Davidson Academy. Coach, you mentioned your running back had 280 yards on the ground last night, and I know I played at DCA back in the day. We played you guys on a pretty regular basis, and it seems like your football team has always been great at running the football. How much confidence do you feel that has given your team really throughout this season?
Well, I think this year we or after last year where we graduated a 3-year starter at quarterback. At you know, he threw for over 3,000 yards previously. We knew coming in that we were going to rely on our returning second-team all-conference running back in Caden Stroud. You know, and he, in the last two games in the playoffs, he's had a couple outstanding games. 280 last night against the undefeated Boyd Buchanan, and then he rushed for 185 yards against the undefeated CPA last week. You know, and those are two monster games against two outstanding defenses. And we just we knew that this year the pass would be set up through the run, and that did give us some confidence we were able to move the ball that well.
Coach, I want to turn and talk about the team now. You know, you're graduating 13 seniors. Before we, you know, get further into the conversation, what have you learned about this group over the last 4 years, and you know, how have you seen them evolve, and just, you know, at their positions individually and as young men in the classroom and off the field and stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. So it's always hard the day after you your season ends, you know, because there's a lot of reflection going on. You have a lot of tears on the field, and you really start to think about the senior class, and that was for a lot of them the last time they'll ever put pads on. This senior class has been another outstanding class for us. I've had them, most of them, for at least 4 years. I watched them come in as undersized, unconfident freshmen, and work their way up into these well-rounded, strong, young men. You've watched them blossom in the classroom, in the school setting, socially, academically, spiritually, and you know that they're prepared for the next phase of life, for college life and eternity, as we talk about at Davidson Academy. And it's been an absolute privilege to get to watch them grow into leaders, to watch their friendships grow, to watch them bond with the coaches, and like I said, it's turned into such outstanding young men. And I know the future's bright for them. And I know that they're prepared for the next phase in their journey. So,
and Coach, one of the beauties I feel like of having a great senior class like that is they kind of paved the way for the next group to kind of take over and fill their shoes. How do you feel like this group of seniors that are getting ready to graduate next semester have kind of instilled that leadership confidence in the next group?
You know, we talk a lot about legacy. We talk about laying the foundation down for the people behind you, and I think this senior class has showed them how to step up and to work hard, how to fight through adversity. A lot of them have overcome numerous injuries this year. A lot of them, some didn't get to finish the season, unfortunately, and some were able to fight through injury and come back and play at a hard level. I think it's they lead by example more than anything else. You work in the weight room, and on the practice field, you know, and even in simple things like team meals and, on the bus, and just how they conduct themselves and how they carry themselves. And I think their legacy will be one that's continued through Davidson Academy for the next class. It's been built upon the ones previously, and it's just something that we take a lot of pride in having good leadership from our senior class and showing the younger athletes how to do it the DA way.
Well, Coach, you know, looking ahead to next year, you've got talent returning on offense. Kasan Barksdale, 14 over 1,400 yards and 17 passing touchdowns this year. You mentioned Caden Stroud a moment ago, over 1,200 yards, and that I noticed on Max Preps last night that ranks 31st in the state. And when you're talking about the whole state, that
right,
30 guys are better than him, that's really, really good. And Josh Bolden as well, over 700 yards and 9 touchdowns. You know, when you look at just those three guys from a 10,000 feet view, you've got the talent on offense to be really good next year.
Yeah, I think we do. And those stats don't include last night's stats. You add in last night's stats, and I think Caden Stroud will be somewhere around 1,500 yards rushing. I'm not sure what the passing stats were completely from last night, but we do have a lot of talent coming back. You know, we have in the skill position, we have we return Josh Bolden, our We return our slot receiver. We return our Z receiver. We return their backups, the guys that rotated. We return Caden Stroud. We return our quarterbacks, our backup quarterbacks. You know, we have a lot of talent really coming back. We're going to have we lose some linebackers. We have to step up and fill some linebacker spots, some defensive linemen, you know. And so we have some guys that it'll be their turn to step in next year and to try to make a splash. But as you do step back and look at the big picture, it is exciting to think of that we'll get these guys for another year and that we can build upon what we did this year heading into next year. And we shouldn't be able to make a big splash going into 2025.
Well, Coach, we'll let you go and, congrats on, I think anytime you get to make the playoffs and play in the postseason, I think it's a good year. And we're going to let you get back to, enjoy some time off before you get to look at that big picture in 2025.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I'm about to hit the road and go watch my son play at Southern Illinois. He's a tight end up there. And I'm going to hit the road and go enjoy him playing some college football today. So,
well, and any day you get to watch college football is a great day as well. Coach, I hope you enjoy the weekend and, good luck to to you guys the rest of the way in 2025.
I appreciate you guys having me on, and thank you. Enjoy your weekend as well. Have a good day.
That was head coach Jonathan Quinn of Davidson Academy. His Bears fell last night on the road to Boyd Buchanan, 35-17. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Taylor Hennigan of the Cookeville Cavaliers. His team took on a really good Riverdale squad last night, and we're going to break that down coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game. .5, 106.3, The Game Blitz. Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly this morning. Joining you, starting your football Saturday. You can catch Vanderbilt over on 94.9 later this morning as they host South Carolina. The Commodores got bowl eligible last week and looking to continue their great season. A team that had a great season this year was the Cookeville Cavaliers, and we're now joined by Coach Taylor Hennigan this morning. Coach, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, Parker and I were discussing, and you guys faced a really, really good running back last night with Dominic Taylor. And it's funny, Davidson Academy faced a really good running back last night as well with Boyd Buchanan. And I guess we'll start there with Riverdale and Dominic Taylor. When you guys watched him on film this week and saw all that he can do and the speed and the talent that he has, is that where you guys had to really focus your game plan defensively?
Yeah, honestly, the structure of their offense, you look at them and you think pass heavy, and certainly you look back to last year, Riverdale, and, you think spread and pass and all that. But when it really came down to, when they needed the important yards, the important plays, he was the guy that they were getting the ball to. So, we kind of structured our defense for the space and the wide receiver screens and things like that. But, the focus was certainly on, his ability to run. And, outside of a couple plays, I thought we did a good job. But, man, he's a good player and had a good night.
Yeah, he did have a good night. With the way the last 2 years have gone, losing to Riverdale in both, the playoffs, the second round last year and then again last night, is that where kind of the monkey kind of lies on this team's back right now?
Well, I mean, we're in year three of a total rebuild, and I took over a program that had not had a lot of success recently, and really needed to be, I guess, revamped. And our players and our staff and our the culture has completely changed. And the biggest thing is, everybody looks at the results, and even the result of last year, and it is what it is. That's reality. We have to we have to own that. We have to find a way to to win those games. But at the same time, we're really a couple plays away from from winning those games, and it doesn't necessarily reflect that in the final score, but we fully expected to win, and in my opinion had an opportunity to win the game, and there was a couple of things that happened you know, that didn't go our way. And, you know, that's the difference. When you play 6A football and you play teams that are well coached and that are as talented as, you know, the teams that you have to play in the playoffs at 6A, you know, the margins are very slim. So, you know, we still are building, you know, what hopefully what we plan to build is a championship team. And I think that's just part of the learning process and part of the, I guess, the growing pains of kind of getting through, you know, some of these difficult games.
We're talking to head coach Taylor Hennigan with Cookeville High School. Coach, you mentioned you're in year three of a rebuild, and just kind of looking at previous records since you took over in that first season in 2022, the team went 3-8. Next year, 8-4, lost in the second round of the playoffs. This year, 8-3. So you can kind of see that steady improvement each season since you have taken over at the helm of the program. What would you say, in your words, what would you say is the next step for this team?
You know, I think it's the consistency of you know, just learning how to win these games. Again, I felt like we were fully capable and expectant of winning last night. You know, you have to learn how to do that. And, you know, until you're in it and you're doing the things every single day with the program, it's hard to explain what that is. But, last night came down to very, very minor details, you know, blocking on the perimeter, kick coverage, you know, very, very little things that people really don't think about when they think about winning, you know, championship games, playoff games. But, you know, for us, for me, obviously today in a reflective, you know, kind of mindset and how can I be better and how can we get better? It's really the detailed things. It's the consistent things that you have to do versus teams that are really, really good. You have to block on the perimeter. You have to leverage the football. You have to cover kicks and do the little things that maybe aren't real noticeable. So that's, you know, for me, that's kind of where my first step is just continue to improve the day-to-day, the very minor details. And, you know, the players and the scheme and all that are going to change, but you've got to be really good at the fundamentals of the game.
Coach, I think your story is very interesting. You're a Cookeville guy. You played at Cookeville High School. You played at Tennessee Tech. And when you took over, I think it's kind of interesting. You're kind of having to deal with players transferring out of schools in Putnam County, kind of moving around the county, moving to surrounding counties. And you said you wanted to create an environment that kids want to play in. And part of that is investing in these kids at a younger age. How are you able to relay your experience at Cookeville, at Tennessee Tech, to these kids and kind of put it in perspective to them that they should want to play at Cookeville High School?
Yeah, I mean, Cookeville is a special place, and in my opinion, there's not been a better time to be at Cookeville and be a Cavalier. And, you know, that was before I got here, that was a very small, I guess, group or window that, you know, there were some players leaving. And, you know, there's always going to be a couple, but, you know, we felt like we had to invest in, you know, in the Putnam County community, whether it was football or not football, we had to invest in our youth. And, you know, we've really revamped our youth program. We've had youth camps for the first time in a long time. So just trying to show these guys that they're going to be coached really hard, they're going to be loved, they're going to be taken care of, and they're going to be really pushed to develop themselves in every area, you know, on the field, off the field, serving our community, serving our school. That's important to us. And, you know, I think, like I said, until they get a kind of a glimpse of that, it's hard to really explain that. They have to see it, and, you know, we try to, you know, get that message across to our team of putting that on display with everything that we do.
Coach, I was in Cookeville for your first year when you got the job, and you know, there were a lot of games in 2022 where you guys were in late, you were in them in the second half, and then things, you know, as you mentioned, they just kind of fell apart one way or another. And, you know, we mentioned at the top of the interview how you guys have gradually improved year over year. What are some things that you look back on now that you wish you had known when you took the job and, you know, a couple of years ago?
To be honest, I think I had, just from, you know, talking to the people in the community and trying to learn as much as I could coming back. I was, I was in North Carolina, I was coaching college football, and, you know, I wasn't super directly connected to Cookeville football other than just being an alum and following from a distance. So, just trying to figure out what was the state of the program. And I had, it's my first head coaching job. So I had a bunch of people that I trust, Trey Lamb and Watson Brown, my dad, who's a former head coach, a bunch of people that, had been in my position before, and they all said the same thing. It's going to take time. It's going to take some time. And I didn't really understand that until really about the end of last year, that when it started to turn. So, just the patience of doing the right things and putting, good decisions on top of each other day after day. And whether it's myself, whether it's the players or the program as a whole, when you stack, positive decisions and you stack good days, there's a time where, where it'll turn. And we had that, I guess, that moment kind of in hindsight, the middle of last year, where the belief of our kids really, really changed. And I think this year, even to an extra, to the next step of not just believing that we can win, but now we fully expect to win. And it just took time. It took time to, kind of instill that trust in the players.
And Coach, last one for you. If you're looking back on the things that went really well for your team this year, how can you kind of build off of those things heading into the offseason and then heading on to the season in 2025?
Yeah, the first thing is the leadership of our team. As any good program, any team that, you're building the right way, you're going to lose good players every year. And we certainly have an awesome group of seniors, both from a production standpoint on the field and, in my opinion, more importantly, off the field, just the leadership of our team. You look at that as we have to replace, but at the same time, like I said, if you're doing it the right way, you got to replace players every year. So a positive of that is all of the young players, all of the Jackson Jones and the, Evan Banks, these underclassmen, Austin Hones, these really good younger players that have been a part of, this turnaround and the culture shift from our leadership and our seniors, our captains, those guys are going to be, obviously the next group of older, teams, guys that have played a bunch, that have led our team in difficult times and in good times. And so I think just the transition of, hey, this is now the standard of how we operate. This is the standard of what we expect at Cookeville. And we've got a good core of young guys that have played a lot of football. Two of those guys, Evan Banks and Jackson Jones, that have started since they were freshmen, that will be juniors and seniors next year. So I'm excited to, see those guys kind of step into that role.
Well, Coach, anytime you guys make the playoffs, it's always a good year. And, now you get to, kind of reflect on that a little bit more and some time off before getting into winter workouts and spring practice in 2025.
Yeah, and I think that's, to be honest, that's part of kind of where I'm at and where our team is at. That, last year we won a playoff game for the first time in, I don't know, a while. Hosted a playoff game, won the first round, and advanced to the second round, and really weren't satisfied with that. And that's a really good sign when you lose in the second round to a good team and you're not happy about it and you're not okay with it, that's a good thing. And so, it was a good regular season, and I'm super proud of a lot of things, but I do know that the standard for our coaches and our players is not, hey, that was a good year. You know, we expect and we want to advance really deep into the playoffs. And, you know, that's the next step for us. That's really hard to do. And the steps from, you know, where we are to getting where we want to be are going to be very difficult. But the expectation is for us to win. So I'm excited that the standard is that.
Well, Coach, enjoy the time off here in the off season, and thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate you having me on.
That was Taylor Hennigan of the Cookeville Cavaliers. His Cavs fell last night on the road to Riverdale, 35-14. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about these interviews. We're going to look ahead to the second round of the state playoffs here in Middle Tennessee. You're listening to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3, the game. 102.5, 106.3, the Game Blitz. Jake Wallman, Parker Kelly wrapping up first round of playoff action. Our interviews with Jonathan Quinn and Taylor Hennigan earlier in the show. If you missed either of those, you can go catch them on the podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast selections. And we're going to recap these interviews real quick, Parker. I can give one thing from the Jonathan Quinn interview, and you can give one thing from the Taylor Hennigan interview. You can go first with that one.
So Hennigan, I really liked, because when he did take over this Cookeville team the year before, they went 1-9. So that was 2021. When he took over in 22, they only had 3 wins. They didn't make the playoffs, but lost in the first round. Next year, I mean, the turnaround to 8-4, that's 5 win improvement, drastic difference. Losing the second round to a really good Riverdale team who has seemed to be a thorn in this Cavaliers team's side. But I really like how the culture has kind of shifted at Cookeville, where he's not convincing these players, and more so instilling. And I think that's the sign of a good coach. He's instilling the fact that, hey, Cookeville is a place that you want to play, because he's investing, like you said, he's investing in these kids at a younger age. And, you know, kind of looking back and reflecting on my high school experience, that always made a difference. When I would see these players walking around in the hallway with their jersey on in high school, and I might have been in elementary or middle, that always left a lasting impression on me. Mm-hmm. And I know that'll do the same for those kids at Cookeville. And I just really like that culture shift.
Yeah, they have, real quick on that, they've brought back a lot of things that Cookeville used to do that they did away with for a while. And I think that's been a part of the culture rejuvenation that they've seen over the past couple of years. For me, the one thing that Jonathan Quinn that stood out about his interview, they've got a lot returning next year. I know they play in a really, really tough region with teams like CPA and Franklin Road Academy, but there's a lot, I think, to look forward to. I think you saw a lot of positives with Kasan Barksdale and a lot of positives with the running back Caden Stroud. Rushing for over 1,200 yards in the regular season alone is really impressive. So, and then they've got some talent returning on defense as well. So I think that this 4-6 record, 4-7 record, if you count the playoff loss last night, is, I think it's going to be an outlier. I think we'll see a better Davidson Academy team next year.
Absolutely. And Davidson Academy, I mean, Jonathan Quinn is a great coach. He won 3 straight state titles at the Division II single A level, and he knows how to coach. He played in the NFL, so he knows how to coach. So this team will definitely be right back in the thick of things soon.
Well, real quick, we're going to look ahead to next week, and we'll give some other games to watch in a moment. Parker, what's the game that stands out to you?
So this will be another game in 6A, and I kind of talked about it earlier, so spoiler alert, Stewart's Creek and Brentwood. Stewart's Creek, again, has just had a great year. After they get the win over Independence last night, they're 10-1. Brentwood is 9-2. And I really think that this will be an interesting matchup. If I had to predict, I'm going Brentwood.
I think it's a good thing that Stewart's Creek had a close game last night in the playoffs. A lot of teams, and a lot of people would see that 3-7 record next to Independence's name and go, they won by 6. What happened? You're a 9-1 team coming into this game. You guys should roll past these dudes. And I think that speaks to how battle-tested Stewart's Creek can be.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about.
And you need
every
that
team
this
has
time
an
of year.
Even playing field in yeah. the playoffs. So
any, I mean, station camp going on the road and beating Jackson Northside, it's stuff like that that can happen in the playoffs. So I think you need games like this where you can, you know, sweat one out and get a 6-point win, and then go on the road the next week and get a big win or something like that.
My coach in college used to always tell me that stats never lie, but they also don't always tell the truth either. So if you're looking at the box score,
yeah,
it can be very, very deceiving. Mm-hmm. I will say that.
Yeah, absolutely. My game is East Robertson at Marion County. East Robertson, we had his coach, the coach's name escapes my name.
It's escaping mine too. We did talk to him.
We talked to him earlier this year, and you know, I was able to actually find
Chase Brooks.
Chase Brooks. We had Chase Brooks on the show earlier in the season, and I was able to find a video of when he got the job at East Rob, and they kind of sat down with him, and he has spent a lot of time in that area. And I think he went to Portland, and he's coached all over the mid-state with Mount Juliet and Beach and Riverdale, and I think that this is a East Robertson team that can go on the road and get a big win at Marion County.
And they've had a great season too. They've kind of been running the table in yeah. Sumner County. I like them too. I think the Indians are a very, very good, physical, can beat you up in a phone booth kind of team. Mm-hmm. So I really like East Robertson.
Yeah, and some other games to watch next week. Monterey at Westmoreland. Monterey got a big win at Forest last night. Macon County and Upperman. This is a game that's kind of setting up. Like last year, these two teams met, I believe, in the – it was either the quarterfinals or semifinals last year at Upperman. Upperman squeaked out a 17-14 win. I think Monterey – or Macon County, excuse me, jumped up 14-0 on Upperman in this game last year. So that's going to be a good game to watch. Upperman's also 11-0. Station Camp at Marshall County. Station Camp has won 6 out of their last 7. And you want to be playing your best ball at the end of the year. So, you know, Marshall County might want to watch a sneaky good Station Camp team coming in next week. Nolensville at Shelbyville Central, and Southwind at Beach, 2 10-1 teams meeting in Shekel Island. That's going to be a really great game next week. Well, this has been another week of the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game for Parker Kelly, making things happen on the other side of the board. For Jonathan Quinn and Taylor Hennigan joining us this morning, we thank them for their time. You're listening to the Game Blitz on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.